Diva, pro-choice, liberal, feminazi, slut, Rush Limbaugh warned you about. It's Start Me Up.
Start Me Up.
With Kimberly A. Johnson.
Hello, it is December 21st, 2016. This is going to be my last free show of the year. And if you've been following my Facebook page, I think you see that I'm a little annoyed with some people who are using the term Bernie bot and Hillary bot and all this anger between the bitter, clinging, proud clingers.
Bitter, clinging, proud clingers.
Those bitter, clinging, proud, clinging liberals.
Bitter, clinging, proud clingers.
Who are making me use Sarah Palin's words. How dare you? You're pissing me off, man. So, okay. I'm really so annoyed, and I'm going to only spend a few minutes on this, and then I'll move on, because I know that I'll come back to it on my Facebook page. I just continually see liberals screaming at each other and screaming about Hillary Clinton or how Bernie ruined everything and how Hillary ruined everything. And they're all so fucking angry. And it's like, yeah, I get it. We're all angry. We're angry because Donald Trump is president. We're angry because some of us are angry because we didn't like the Democratic nominee and the general. Well, you know, that's the way it goes in politics. You don't always get what you want. I wanted Bernie Sanders, but I didn't get Bernie Sanders, and I didn't scream about it, and I didn't act like the fact that Hillary Clinton was the nominee was the worst thing that could have ever happened to us. Because Hillary Clinton is a million times better than Donald Trump. I don't care what you say, she is. She would have at least, at the very least, if you're out there and you're not a fan of Hillary Clinton, you must admit that she would have kept us at the status quo. And maybe you're not happy with the status quo. But it's a hell of a lot better than taking us back and possibly into World War III, which she wouldn't have done. So anyway, and then for the people that are screaming about Bernie Sanders, saying that, you know, he ruined everything for Hillary. Some people are even saying he made the Russian hack possible, which is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life, because that makes no sense. I understand that, you know, if you're a Hillary supporter from the get-go, of course you don't want somebody to come in and challenge her. And he did. And he wasn't in it just to soft pedal his way to a win. He wanted to win. So he used everything he could to win, and he didn't win. He lost. Which brings me to another point. You know, we've got 17 different intelligence agencies saying that there was a Russian hack. And there are certain people out there who voted for Jill Stein or third party or who are Bernie supporters who are saying, no, that's not the case, because Julian Assange is saying it's some other guy. Well, I'm sorry, I'm going to go with the 17 different intelligence agencies. And the argument from some of these people is, well, you're not providing proof. They're not providing proof. Maybe that's because there's some secrets in there that they don't want the general public to know. So more hacks don't happen. Or, you know, they have to decide how they're going to release certain pieces of information to us, because the public can't be privy to every little piece of information out there. And it's just, it makes sense that, I don't know, I'm going to believe the intelligence agencies, at least for now. I may not trust everybody right now, but I believe the fact that all these people came together and came to the same conclusion. And in that same vein, I say that in the primary, there were a lot of these Bernie bros, right? And they were assholes, and they were sexist, and they were bigots. And I'm sure some of them, and I know actually some of them, are legitimate people, because I knew them before the primary. And so I'm going to say, yeah, absolutely, some of them were legitimate. But since I believe, and 17 different intelligence agencies believe, that there was a Russian hack, it's not so far-fetched to also think that maybe during the primary, some of these Bernie bros were really plants. Whether they were plants from Republicans or plants from the Russians, it makes total sense, because it divided us. And it was very successful, because we are divided as liberals. I think that it's important for us, when we're online and we see comments from other people that are incendiary, that are, whether they're, you know, if they're coming from what looks like people who should be on our side, if it looks like they're being sexist or rude, don't always automatically assume that those are legitimate Facebook commenters, they might be plants. Don't allow them to decide how you're going to feel. Make up your own mind about it. And recognize that the Russians wanted to create some divide, because it would be easier for them to get Trump installed if there was a divide in the Democratic Party. And there is. That's not to say that I don't think the Democratic Party can't stand some improvement. I think we can definitely improve. I have all kinds of ideas about that, and I will share them with you. But we have to recognize that we have a country that wants to, we have Putin who wants to basically take over. So it's not outside of the realm of possibility that the Russians put some plants in to divide the Democrats. So there's that. So to my idea, this is what I'm thinking. And I guess maybe I'm going to try to write a memo that I can, give to the whoever is going to become the president of the DNC or head the DNC, the chair, or whoever, I don't know. But I'm looking at this election and I see that, you know, let's say that there was like 65 million people who voted for Hillary, 62 million that voted for Donald, and then the rest of the country didn't vote at all. And the rest of the country is like... those two combined, the amounts of Hillary voters and Donald Trump, those two groups combined. So what I think is, aside from trying to appeal to the base, we are, and also trying to appeal to some of the liberals who maybe left the Democratic Party because they're upset, what we also need to focus on is that huge group of people who didn't vote at all. And it won't be that difficult, because right now they're experiencing the idea of, oh, well, I didn't vote and look what happened. And they're going to see what's happening with Donald Trump and they're going to be upset. And we're probably going to automatically get some more voters next time around. But the key is midterms. I don't know if these people are going to be interested or even aware of how important the midterms are. So I think the Democratic Party needs to put some of its funds into a campaign, an online campaign, that would target people who haven't voted and utilize maybe kids. Let's say we've got a group of kids from the age of 8 to 12 years old. And then they can school us on the importance of voting, specifically voting in the midterms. So they could talk about how the Senate... or I'm sorry, how the president will nominate a Supreme Court justice, but the Senate votes on it. A lot of people don't know that. I didn't know that until recently. I'm definitely one of those people who wasn't always paying attention politically. So there's a lot of things that I've learned in the last 4 or 5 years being an online activist. And I see how before I didn't know a thing, and I never voted in the midterm. So I'm just like those people out there. I don't think it's a good idea to shame them. I think it's a good idea to educate them and motivate them and inspire them. And now that we have a president, or we're going to have a president who's going to shit all over the Constitution and all over the people of America, they're going to start paying attention to things. So I remember, maybe you remember, if you're old enough like me, when I was a kid, we had Schoolhouse Rock. And we had a couple of different, two of them come to mind. And one is I'm Just a Bill.
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Well, it's a long...
I love that cartoon. And it's such a fun tune. I still sing it. Sometimes, like when I'm cleaning my house, I just walk around singing that song. And then there was the other one. And this wasn't about politics, but it was Conjunction Junction.
Conjunction Junction, what's your function?
Hooking up words and phrases and clauses.
Conjunction Junction.
I mean, those were cool. And they taught you something. And I'm Just a Bill talked about how a bill goes into law, and it gives you the whole description, definition, and it's easy and it's fun and it's a cartoon, and it's something that they played over and over and over and over again on Saturday morning, so that as a child, you understood it, and it wasn't partisan. It wasn't a Democratic thing. It wasn't a Republican thing. It was just how government works. So I think it would be really cool if we could develop a new kind of Schoolhouse Rock, call it something different, but just get kids to explain politics and make it fun and make it interesting. I think that's a really great idea, and I think we should do it. So I'm going to try to find someone in leadership to listen to me, and I don't care if there's anybody out there who knows somebody, pass it along. I don't even need credit for this idea. I just want to see it happen because we need to vote in the midterms. It's extremely important. So now I want to talk a little about the fact, going back to the Bernie and Hillary people, I think that the reason we're experiencing what, you know, this heightened sense of division at this point in time is because of the electors. There were a bunch of people that, including me, who, even though I didn't really think the electors were going to provide us with some kind of Christmas miracle, I hoped for it. And then whenever you have hope and you don't get it, you are disappointed. So a lot of us were disappointed, even though a lot of us recognized that it probably wasn't going to go our way. But it was another punch in the gut. You know, we had a punch in the gut on November 8th, and we didn't expect it. So then everybody panics. And when we panic, we start blaming and we start pointing fingers. So the same thing happened after the electors voted. And I think the same thing's going to happen when Donald Trump is inaugurated. I think that it's going to be one more major freak out for liberals, and everybody who's completely upset and scared and frightened is going to play the freak out and blame game, and the fingers are going to be pointed. And I hope that eventually people calm down from this and stop the blaming, because as much as it's an important and necessary way to figure out how to, or let me go back. As important as it is to analyze what happened and to recognize where we had weaknesses, it's different than screaming at other voters or holding on to that anger. Because when you hold on to that anger, you're nothing but a bitter, clinging, proud clinger.
Bitter, clinging, proud clingers.
Don't be one of those. Don't be stupid like Sarah.
Bitter, clinging, proud clingers.
Just don't do it. And, you know, I'm not usually all kumbaya-y. I mean, I kind of am, except that I'm a big mouth and I like to use profanity. But, you know, when it all is said and done, I am about unity and kumbaya. And I don't mean unity with Donald Trump. I mean unity within our own group, within our own, whether it's the Democratic Party or just liberals in general. I think that it's extremely important that we get our priorities straight here. I don't think our priorities are straight. I think we're still too busy blaming. Now, there's a lot of people out there who are not blaming, and that's great. I think it's just we've got to focus on changing things now. So everybody had their tantrum. I'll give it till the 20th of January, and then I'm going to lay low again, because I have to admit, it makes me so angry. I get so angry, and then I lose my mind, and I say really sarcastic, horrible things to other liberals, and that's not what I want to do. I just want to, I want to go back to when we were just picking on Republicans. That was kind of fun, you know, and now I feel a little lost. I've been feeling a little lost with my messaging, and part of that stems from the fact that I'm a feminist and I talk about women's issues. I run feminist Facebook pages, and I still keep up the same kind of message on these feminist pages. But I would say that, you know, when I started online activism, feminism, it was around April 2012. And a lot of things were happening at that time. The defunding of Planned Parenthood conversation was really starting. The Sandra Fluke slut thing was happening. You know, and we had a Democratic president, so we felt like we had some control. And I'm talking we, meaning feminists. And there was this narrative going on of this sassy, sarcastic, in-your-face feminism. And, you know, it could be argued that because we lost the 2014 midterms and Democrats lost in 2016, there might be an argument that that kind of sassy, sarcastic messaging no longer works. And I'm not really sure about that. I think it's really important to stand up for what we believe in. And I think that when there's misogyny and sexism, that the best way to handle it is to stand up and maybe use some humor, because we can't be too serious about it. If we're too serious about it, we're not taken seriously. And we're just called angry. So I'm kind of at this crossroads about how I'm going to handle my feminism and how I am a feminist and what I say as a feminist. And I'm not really sure where to go. Maybe you have some suggestions. I'd love to hear them, because I'm a little lost right now. I will always be sarcastic, and I will always be snarky, and I will always call out the people who are trying to strip away and repeal rights and policies that affect everybody but affect women. I just don't know what the best answer is as far as where do feminists go from here. You know, it's very difficult. And so this brings me to my next point, which is I've asked some people on Facebook to provide me with topics or questions. And Sean asked me to address, now he says it's a recent alt-right attack on Pantsuit Nation, which was then picked up by some liberals as if the group was becoming white supremacist. This coupled with an attack on the group's founder, and all of this was written in HuffPo. So somebody named, I don't know who this guy is, Harry Lewis. He wrote an article in Huffington Post called Pantsuit Nation is a Sham. And the gist of the article, now I don't know if any of you are I guess you are aware of Pantsuit Nation, but it's a group that started up by a woman, I think it was Suna, like the day after the election. And it was a place, it was kind of like a safe space for liberals and liberals who wanted Hillary Clinton to be president to go and share their stories. Or no, it wasn't the day after, it was before she was elected. So initially it was a place for Hillary supporters to go and share their stories. And it was like a safe private space. That group filled up very quickly, and it's over a million now. I don't know. It might even be more than a million. I belong to that page, but I don't visit it very often. So I can't say that I know a lot about it. But most recently, the woman who started the group made a post saying that the stories are going to appear in a book. Some of the stories from some of the people in Pantsuit Nation are going to be included in a book. And this person who wrote the Huffington Post article says, and I guess he's the liberal that this Sean is talking about that picked it up. He was also talking about how it's about white feminism, but I'll get into that in a moment. He specifically says that this woman, whose name is something Chamberlain, is presumably selecting for this, or stories, she's presumably selecting stories from the book, and that she's going to get paid. And then he says, without any consideration for breach of privacy laws, where somebody's intellectual property and personal experience is suddenly able to sit on your coffee table. So that's kind of bullshit, because if you read her post in Pantsuit Nation, she specifically says that if anybody would like to have their stories appear in the book, to please email her. And then she also asks that she's, or says that she's going to be looking at some of these stories, and she's going to be going around and sending messages to people whose stories she'd like to include, and specifically asks them to check their other or spam mail or their message mail. So it appears that what she's going to do is ask for that permission, and she'll probably provide some kind of legal document. I understand this because when I was asking people for stories in my book, The Virgin Diaries, and these were all anonymous, but I still got permission, legal permission, from every single person that I asked. I didn't just take stories from people and randomly post them in my book. That's, you know, I could get in trouble for that. So I'm going to believe that this woman who's running Pantsuit Nation isn't just going to take these stories and publish them and not tell the people. So he's wrong there. There's also an argument that this guy is making. And again, this is something that I can't even address because I don't go on there. But evidently, he says there was a lot of white splaining, so that like there would be a black woman maybe, or a Hispanic woman who might go on and make a post not understand what somebody else was saying. And so all these supposed white women were jumping on the black people and the Hispanic people. I don't know if that's true. I really don't. All I do know is that these groups can be infiltrated by more plants. So again, it goes back to the argument. If you see anger and fighting and people who seem like they're maybe, you know, in using their white privilege, which I believe in white privilege. I believe there is white privilege, and I think that we have to do something about it. But I guess what I'm trying to say here is that we can't believe every single thing we see on Facebook. We can't believe that every single person we see commenting is legitimate. So when I first saw this article on Huffington Post, it had 20,000 shares. Well, a couple hours later, it's up to 20,000 shares. So this article is being passed around, and he's just taking what he thinks to be the case, and now all these people are buying it up. And I think it's just, God, it's like everybody needs to chill the fuck out. We need to calm down, because if we just keep up this, you know, the white-splaining to the people of color arguments, which while they're true, if we just only focus on that, we're going to lose. I think there is white-splaining going on. There's all kinds of splaining going on. There is white privilege. The best way we get rid of that, right now we don't have that option because it's Republican-controlled everything, but the best way to get rid of it is through policy and through lawmaking to make things more equal. Well, right now it's just going to be a bunch of anarchy or something until not anarchy, but Republican rule, which just means things are we're gonna see all kinds of civil rights repealed. We're gonna see all kinds of legislation coming up that's discriminatory, and it's up to us as the people of this country to be above that and better than that. We just have to. I just ask that as we move forward into the new administration, that we keep as calm as we possibly can, because it's going to be infuriating every single day. And we're definitely going to see infuriating headlines. And we're going to see all kinds of legislation that's really going to be upsetting. And so we need to just stay calm. And we need to focus on a new version of the Democratic Party where Democrats are calling out all the actions that are horrible. For instance, Kamala Harris is the newly elected Democratic senator from California. And she just announced that she actually had a statement. And she said, "No state will be more impacted by any potential changes to federal immigration policy than California. And I look forward to zealously protecting our state's interest on the Homeland Security Committee." And she has been very clear that she's opposing Donald Trump. This is what we need to see more of. We need to see more strong Democrats who are going to speak out against what Trump is doing, what the Republicans are doing. And I think that's where we can find our unity. I think that's where we can find our hope. And I actually do think that I think if there is any hope, because it's going to seem really dark and dire, the hope is that all of those people who didn't vote in 2016, I think they're going to start waking up now. They have to, because they're going to be affected. And if you're, you know, if you have kids and your kids aren't paying attention, talk to them. Try to get them interested by whether it's, you know, what find out or not find out, but if your kid is for instance, when I was younger, or I still am, I always pay attention to the really exciting news stories. So back in the day when I wasn't really paying attention to politics, when we went to war with Iraq and we had the whole shock and awe, I was all over that. That was fascinating to me. It was exciting and scary. And at the time, because I was watching the news 24/7, I could have repeated everything to bring you up to date in that moment, what was happening over there. So basically what I'm trying to say is use what draws your child's attention, whatever it is, to get them interested, whether that means talking about the Democratic leaders who are standing up or focusing on the Republican ones who are either standing up to their own party or taking rights away. Whatever it takes, just get their attention. And then there is an article right now that's out, I think it was written on December 15th, and it's Robert Reich, 4 Signs You May Have Lost Your Will to Fight the Coming Tyranny of Trump. Number one is normalizer syndrome. Number two is outrage numbness syndrome. Number three is clinical syndrome. And number four is helpless syndrome. So what he's basically saying here is that, you know, it's very easy to get, you know, lost in, for instance, you turn on the news and you see certain people on MSNBC normalizing Trump, and then you just kind of want to give up, or you're just, there's so much outrage that you become numb to the outrage, and then you're no longer outraged. There's also the whole idea of being so cynical that you just give up, or you give up because you feel helpless. So in any of those cases, you have to realize that you're not utterly powerless and you're not immobilized, that you are like millions of other Americans who feel the same way. And the only way we can overcome this is by, and this is what he suggests, by taking action, by demonstrating, resisting, objecting, demanding, speaking truth, joining with others, making a ruckus, and never ceasing to fight. This means go in and get involved locally, get involved with local Democratic Party groups in your area. Even if you're pissed off and you didn't like, let's say you were one of the Bernie voters and you didn't like the fact that Hillary Clinton was the nominee. Fine. I'm not going to tell you to like it. But if you're unhappy with the Democratic Party, go get involved. Go get involved and help to change it to be what you want it to be. You're not going to win everything, because we never do, but it will make you feel really good to talk with like-minded others and to figure out the best ways to change things in this country, because that's what we're going to have to do. All right. So I feel like I'm just getting so heavy. I asked people on Facebook to address, you know, to provide me with, you know, some questions they want me to answer. And also if they have anything I want to address. So a couple of people asked me if I'm attending the Women's March on Washington. No, I'm not. I'm not going to be able to go this year. I wish that I could, but I'm not going to be able to. So I would love to see people from my Facebook page go and post pictures. It seems like there's some confusing information about it, but the last that I heard, it's on. So if you're going to go, go. And don't worry about it. And be safe. And dress warm. I wish I could be there. Another person, Jake, asked me, all he said was social justice warriors and PC liberals. Well, I'm not really so PC. I'm a little PC, but I'm not of the idea that like we need the safe spaces and the jazz hands crap. I don't believe in that. I just think that, as you know, we shouldn't use the N word because that's so horribly offensive. We shouldn't be public bullies. We shouldn't treat other people like crap. But beyond that, you know, I grew up in the 1980s where, you know, like PC culture was a joke. And on top of it, my family, I come from a family of jokesters. So my father and my Uncle Bobby and my dad would always, you know, mess with me and my cousin. And it wasn't like they were, being mean to us or anything, but they would just mess with us. And it was always all in good fun. So for me, when I see this PC culture, and I see people getting their feelings hurt over the like craziest little things, I don't understand it, because I just feel like it's fun to kind of make fun of each other in a way that isn't mean-spirited, but, you know, we have to laugh at ourselves. We have to be able to make fun of ourselves when we're behaving like either jerks, or when we're too cautious, or whatever. I mean, I guess I'm a product of my generation. You know, I mean, lately I've been watching a lot of 1980s movies. And it's like every time I watch something, I say out loud, oh my God, this would never fly today. And I just feel like I, as much as I like the idea that we have to be kind to each other and recognize that we can't call each other names or I don't know. It just seems to me that we've taken it a little bit too far. I don't think that I'm not the liberal who's overly PC. So I don't know exactly what Jake wanted me to say about that, but I just tried to address it the best I can. Obviously, I'm not the most PC person in the world, but I do believe I'm kind of like caught in the middle. Okay, so then there is Chris says, I'd like you to stress the importance of people getting involved at the local level. Well, Chris, I think you just stressed it. People should get involved at the local level, whether it's getting involved with the Democratic Party, whether it's getting involved in your school, the school board, or, you know, if your kid goes to school, see what you can do there. There's all kinds of local things that you can do for your local community, for your state. Just get involved. That's what the Tea Party did. The Tea Party was really smart in 2010 because they took advantage of the fact that liberals don't show up to vote at midterms, and they ran for seats. They threw off other Republicans that weren't as extreme as they were, and they took over. So Democrats just need to do the same thing. We need to get involved, and we need to start getting involved in government and any kind of local, you know, political thing that there is going on in your community. Just look it up and get involved. Okay, so then let's see. I think I addressed this, but Christopher said over 100 million registered voters did not vote. 70 million more are not even registered. This is the key to the midterms. And it's true. This goes back to the idea that I think we need, Democrats need to provide some kind of online campaign about the importance of voting, and especially the importance of voting in midterms. Because for whatever those numbers that were just mentioned, which he just cited, I don't have, that was what Christopher cited. I don't have the, you know, what the actual numbers may be, but that sounds pretty accurate to me. It's much, much more in the midterms that don't vote. Okay. Next, let's see. Somebody asked how soon we can get Donald Trump for treason. Well, I don't know. He's just going, I don't know. You know, I think we're going to see in this administration, there's going to be all kinds of injustices that are going to happen, and nobody's going to do jack shit about it. So I think that's why it's important for Democrats to get involved in grassroots activism. And I think, okay, one of the things I posted on my Facebook page people always ask me, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? One thing that you can do is you can go to, I think there's one place called Ballotpedia. Just go online and look up who your local and your federal representatives are, your state reps, your state senators, and then just the federal ones. And make a point to call them, whether it's once a week or once a month, and let them know what you think. Always be polite. But if, let's say you have let's say you're dealing with a Republican. I've seen people say, well, mine's Republican. They're never going to listen. Fine. Don't worry about it. Do it anyway. Call them once a week. Be polite. Leave them a message. Talk to the woman who's working or the man who's working in the audience office who takes your call. Just let them know. I am unhappy with, you know, Bill SB3 or whatever it is, let them know. Let your voice be heard. Thank them. Be polite. Hang up. Go about your business. It doesn't take very long. Maybe you're going to make 4 phone calls. Those phone calls will take you all of maximum 10 minutes, but probably 5. And then just put a little note on your calendar and then do it either in a week or do it in a month. And think about it. If every single person in this country or every single liberal or Democrat in this country did that, and then you call up the Democrats and say, I really want you to oppose Donald Trump on this. I really want to see you take a strong stand on, you know, this issue, whatever it is that you want, let them know. Because we don't do that. These people are our public servants. They're not our bosses. It's not a dictatorship. They work for us. So we have to, you know, we hire them, basically, and we put them in charge of things, but then we can also fire them. But we have to show up to fire them, and we have to make them feel the pressure, because right now a lot of these people who are running the country are too busy trying to make money so they can continue to campaign. And they're really not, and I mean, this is Democrats included, they're not spending enough time talking to the people, listening to the people. So make them, just make them, and do it on a regular basis. It's not very difficult. In fact, my book, American Woman, The Pole Dance, Women in Voting, I provide several different options for contacting your state and your official, the officials, whether it's the local or the federal. And then I also talk about, like, for instance, at voting time, when we get those big packages that, you know, break down either who it is that we're supposed to be voting for or the issues that we're voting for, it's kind of confusing and you don't always know, well, I don't know how I feel about this. You know, I'm hearing the one little argument here and the one little argument there on, or I'm reading that on the packet, but I'm not getting the full story. One of the recommendations that I made in my book that specifically works really well for college students is to get a group of people together and who all live in the same area. So let's say you get 10 people. So you figure out, like, let's say each person is in charge of looking up one of the propositions and finding out the pro and the con of it and doing some investigation. And then you all meet for dinner, or, you know, you go to somebody's house, whatever makes you feel comfortable. And, you lay some ground rules at first where it's not about opinions here. It's like each person, is going to go over the information they found on one particular issue, proposition, or candidate, and then they're going to provide you with the information that they have, and maybe you can have a little Q&A about how things might work, and then each individual person marks on their own book what their private choice is going to be, and that makes it a little easier. Sometimes, you know, the Democrats this year and every year send out some literature on, you know, the Democratic vote. This is why, you know, on proposition one, you should vote this way. If you want to take that shortcut, take that shortcut. But it's important to pay attention to these things, because these are the laws that you must live by. These are the people who are going to be creating the laws that you live by, and the propositions are the laws that you must live by. So you can make it fun. Politics can be scary and elections can be scary when you don't know everything about it, but it can be fun. So maybe you're somebody who already knows this and you're already doing it. Well, if you have kids, if you have college kids, recommend something like this to them so that they will be involved in the next election, specifically the off elections, like the 2017 election, which is going to be like governors, and then the 2018, which is all lawmakers. These people are extremely important. So talk to people that you know who aren't really engaged. Maybe they can find, you know, or invite those people over. Have a little party and, you know, your little voting party. Invite them over. See what they have to say, because everybody has an opinion about an issue or a topic, even if they don't think they do. So there's that. Okay, so again, I see the Women's March, so I've already addressed that. So Darius asks me, I would love to know how Kimberly A. Johnson manages to be herself when shit goes to hell. Oh my God, that's so funny. Oh, Darius, I love you. Well, I guess I start ranting and raving and I start screaming at everybody on Facebook. I call them bitter clinging proud clingers.
Bitter clinging proud clingers.
That's what happens when shit goes to hell. I get so fucking angry and I start cussing and I start saying, fuck you. So that's what I do. It helps to keep me like from completely going insane. You know, people are asking about Donald Trump's impeachment. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I think it's awesome that people think I know more than I do about this. I don't know. I'm just right there with you. I don't know if he's going to get impeached. I hope he gets impeached. It seems to me, this is what I think. I think that the Republicans don't like him. Okay, I'm gonna call this Kimberly's conspiracy theory. I'm gonna wrap up in a minute, but right before we go, I'm gonna have Kimberly's conspiracy theory corner, and talk. I think there are theories out there that I will just address or play with. So let's just go with the Russians interfered. Well, the Russians interfered and they hacked the Democratic National Committee's emails and all of that. They also hacked the Republicans, but they didn't say anything about the Republicans. They wanted Hillary Clinton to lose, so they slowly leaked a bunch of information to make her look bad. And first of all, we don't even know if the information that they leaked was altered. So before everybody goes in and assumes that that's the case, recognize that those documents could have been altered to make them look worse than they actually were. So the Democratic Party looks really bad, and we've already experienced on our side the slow leak. Well, now that Putin is getting his way and Donald Trump's going to become president and the Republicans run everything, there's all this information that Russia has on the Republicans. And they can use that to blackmail, and they can use that to get to install other Russian-friendly people to be in charge of things in this country. We're already seeing that happen with the Secretary of State. So I'm not sure if there will be an impeachment for the reason of, let's just say that there is some blackmail out there that the Russians are going to use against the Republicans. And obviously Putin would want Trump to stay in power so he can continue using him as his puppet. And so, I mean, I don't know what that means. I don't know if that means that, you know, the Republicans are going to be the ones who decide his fate if there is an impeachment. They're going to decide whether he stays or goes. So if for all we know, somebody from the Russian government could be contacting Republicans and letting them know that they need to keep Trump in. I don't know. This is all just a big guess. But, you know, people are saying that there's going to be an impeachment or wondering if there's going to be an impeachment. I guess we just have to wait and see how things are going to go, because until they happen, we're just not going to know. So some of you might be aware of this story today about a woman in Louisville, Kentucky, who started screaming at some Mexican Hispanic women. I don't know if they were Mexican. They were Hispanic women who were shopping. And what I think is awesome is that these people who are feeling emboldened by Donald Trump and running around screaming at other people that aren't white are being filmed, and we can see them. You know, it's not like 25 years ago. Now we have phones with cameras and we can capture everything. So here's a little bit of that confrontation from that horrible woman standing in line in Kentucky as she yelled at some Hispanic women.
Go back to wherever the fuck you come from, lady. Y'all think you... Hey, tell them to go back where they belong. They can't act like the heroes. They come here to live and act like everybody else. Get in the back of the line like everybody else does. And be somebody. And that's the way I look at it. You're a nobodies. Just because you come from another country, it don't make you nobody. Nobody, as far as I'm concerned, probably on welfare. We probably, the taxpayers probably paid for all that stuff.
How does she know? How does she know if these women are on welfare? And she's screaming at them to speak English. This horrible woman from Kentucky is just perfect. She's a deplorable. She is what is wrong with this country. And what is wrong with the message Donald Trump is sending? And I did hear that this woman has now been banned permanently from the mall. So good. Good, good, good that, fortunately there is still people in this world who are tolerant and who do not want to put up with this horrible discrimination and horrible bigotry. It just makes me sick, and we're going to see more and more stories like this. But as long as people out there have your phones at the ready, have them ready for the deplorable women like this racist old angry woman in Kentucky. All righty. So I'm wrapping up now, and I'm going to go on into another thing. But before I do, I just want to stress the importance of supporting independent authors and supporting independent podcasters. So you could support me by visiting my Amazon page and taking a look at my books and seeing if any of them might be of interest to you. You can also support my show by becoming a monthly subscriber at patreon.com/startmeup. And you can pledge $1 a month. You can do $5 a month, and then you'll get access to my bonus show and another thing. And whether I have a guest or not, I'll just keep talking about maybe what I've been talking about, add a few extra goodies. And then if you pledge $10 a month, you'll get access to a free bonus third show with a very special guest. And I will probably be even more inappropriate than I am, and I'll probably use more profanity than I usually do. So I hope you support me in the show, and thank you for listening. This is the last free show of the year.